Getting the sheets out when we get started. Okay. There's a little bit of an unusual thing to do, because I'm actually going to give shiur on a topic that's more connected to Purim than Pesach. But it's an interesting topic. I don't think it really matters that much whether it's the Chag that is upcoming or not. Okay, and actually, no Meltzer, nice haircut. Okay. Oh, almost didn't recognize you. Jonah, did you recognize him? Okay. So, we actually owe this topic to my in-laws, believe it or not. Okay, my in-laws were at our house last week, and my mother-in-law said to me, why do we read the Megillah twice? And I think it's often true in life that something we do since childhood, we don't question. And it's good to think about it a little bit and maybe realize it on a deeper level. So let's just think about this for a second. Let's compare it either to other Megillot reading or to other mitzvot. Okay, so let's say Eicha. How many times do we read Eicha over Tisha B'Av? Once, right? We only read it at night. We do not read Eicha again in the daytime. That does the job. And yet, somehow, Esther's read twice. Okay, what if we compared it not to... I'll just take one down if you don't mind. What if we compared it not to Megillah reading, but to other mitzvot? So if you have mitzvot of the Chagim, let's compare it to Matzah, Shofar, and Lulav. Okay, what common denominator all of the above, guys? It is either just night or just day. Right, when is the mitzvah to eat matzah? Pesach night. When is the mitzvah to blow shofar or to take a lulav? Only the day. So, again, we do it our whole lives. We don't really think about it. It's an unusual thing. Right? What is going on that all of a sudden this is repeated? Is there something deeper going on here that Megillah is repeated? So that's number one. And then, as some of you know, okay, my father-in-law is a very, very proud German. And one thing about Germans, they love their minhagim. Arguably, they're more attached to their minhagim than anybody else. So we were discussing how many times we say Shechianu on Mikra Megillah. Now, think about most mitzvot we do. If there's a mitzvah that we repeat, right, what tends to happen? The first time we say Shechianu, and the second time we don't. Guys, give me a mitzvah like that. Chanukah, excellent. Oh, God, we all learned in elementary school, right? The first night of Chanukah, we make 3 brachot. And every other night, we make 2. Because once you've said Shechianu, you don't say it again. And it makes a lot of sense, guys. What's the whole theme of Shechianu? We haven't done this in a long time, and we've got here, right? There's Shechianu is about novelty. We're grateful to get to this novel mitzvah we haven't performed in a year, right? That's what think about. That's why it goes together with putting on new clothes as well. So that Shechianu, it doesn't really make sense that Shechianu would be said twice. Okay, so I was talking, and I said, Svardim on, we can get confirmation from our local Svardim over here. Svardim say Shechianu at night of Purim, when they read the Megillah. But in the day, they go down to 2, just like Ner Chanukah. Right, 3 brachot in the morning and night, and 2 in the daytime. And Ashkenazim follow the Ramah, who says to do Shechianu again. Where's Arya Padua? Is he here? Arya, did you see Shechianu in the day also? What? Yes, because you are an Ashkenazi fellow. Okay, so he followed the Ramah, and he said Shechianu again. But the Germans, believe it or not, guys, on this issue are like the Svardim. Right. By the way, it's not the only parallel. Someone should write a book once about why the Germans are Svardim. Very good. Good one. Okay, right. Most Ashkenazim do not wear a talit until they're married, which, by the way, is totally illogical. There's no connection in the world of halacha between being married and the mitzvah of tzitzit. But Svardim and German Jews wear talit from earlier in the game. They don't wait till they're married. Right? So at that point, there's a parallel. There's more out there, guys. Not for us right now. But now, so our second question is going to be, how do we justify this Ashkenazi minhag? Okay, why should we say Shechianu twice? Okay, guys, we have 2 things lurking here, and one of the reasons I picked this topic is because it really extends beyond Purim. Extends to our understanding of Shechianu and other issues in the Chagim. But question one, why do we have this mitzvah we do twice? That is unusual in the world of Chagim. The mitzvah has to be done both in day and the night. And the Sephardim seems so much more logical. Why would we say Shechianu twice if we're Ashkenazi? Yes?
When you talk about saying Shechianu twice, the first thing I think of is like Shmini Atzeret. Isn't there a whole thing about how we say Shechianu the second set of Yom Kippur? There's like a category difference.
Okay.
We do the same thing here. We say there's two beginnings that are like separate.
Oh, Marty is getting it. He's going to be alarmed in one day. Okay. What if we say the 2 readings are not the same? that there's somehow a difference between the daytime reading and the nighttime reading. And then you could say, so Shechianu, it's not repetition, and therefore we'll say Shechianu each time. Now that is a great point, but we'll see different ways of playing out the details. Like, what changes? Like, why is the nighttime qualitatively different than the daytime? That would justify two separate Shechianos. Noah.
I could be completely making this up, but I think I remember an opinion of, you don't know whether you're supposed to say it at night or at day, so you say it at both.
In terms of Mikra Megillah?
Yeah.
That I haven't seen, but that doesn't mean it's not there. Saul.
Because during the day, you think about Matzot Levionim and Peshuah, which are only Mitzvot during the day.
Okay.
So when you say Shechianu at night, you're only...
Okay, interesting. Okay, so Saul is suggesting that maybe instead of differentiating the two Megillah readings, maybe we'll differentiate between the two Shechianos. One Shechianu is on A, another Shechianu is on B. So let's just expand it a little bit more before we get to you, Caleb. Okay, I think Saul's on the right track. Saul, very good. Okay, so Saul had it for different mitzvot. Guys, besides mitzvot, what else could Shechianu be relating to beyond individual mitzvot? Oh, someone just said it. Who was that? Harrison, that was you, right? Say it a little louder so you all get it. Couldn't you have Shechino about the day as a Yom Tov? Right, so maybe we say one Shechino is on the day and one is on the Megillah reading. Okay, so let's see. We're going to go out of order because I always like when people's comments take us in a certain direction. We'll see if that stands up. Caleb. I don't have to say anything anymore. I just have to smile at him. Okay.
Could it possibly be that the Chiv is really just like human wants in general, and because of that we have these two things that's like really important to us, and then Shechianu would be that we just don't know who's in the crowd if they've heard it once or haven't heard it at all.
Okay, so interesting. Interesting. Okay. I think we could challenge your case. What if we knew it was everybody who was there last night also? Okay, Caleb, what are you doing for the break?
What, today?
No, like after Yeshiva ends.
Working at a winery.
Oh, I thought that was summer.
No, that's like, yeah, after Yeshiva ends.
No, what are you doing for the Pesach break?
Oh, for Pesach break. Oh, I'm going to, I'm going to Vienna with Mike and Lipson, and I'm going to Zurich with Gabi.
Okay.
He's going to be for Shabbos.
Great. I don't think either Vienna or Zurich is known for its whiskey, is that correct?
Actually, there's some like, whatever.
Okay, fine. Okay. So now, let us try Harrison's theory. Okay, so everyone jump to the Meiri, please, in source 5. Right, Meiri again is Provence, southern France. Very nice commentary on Gemara. Okay, so we have the Meiri here. So if you could skip to the fourth line, we'll get back to the first part different time. He wants to give Harrison's shot, but he's going to argue against it. Okay, guys, there are more sheets on the beam, if anyone would like a sheet. Okay. Here we go, guys. So it says, Nirin Yeshim Agalkal Chiyav Zman. Oh, sorry, one thing, guys. Zman is a nickname for a bracha. Which bracha is Zman a nickname for? Shechianu. Because think about it. What is Shechianu? Shechianu Bikonu Gyanu. La Zman Hazeh. Okay, Eitan. Is that your dad?
Yes.
Welcome. Nice to see you. Glad you came to share. Okay. Here we go. Shimgal Chiyav Zman B'yom Mitzad Acher. V'um Ifnei Yom Tov. Ah, there you are, Harrison. Now, which one is which, though? You want to say one is for the Megillah reading and one is for Purim. Shalonam or Belila Elohim Megillah, Mashaykim B'Shayim Tovim. Sha'av Oto Shalilu Lezecha Yom Tov Lo Davar Acher. So he wants to say, at night I do it for Mikra Megillah, and at day I do it for the Yom Tov. Now, there's a little bit of a difficulty here, guys, even though it's a nice theory. What about Sukkot? Sukkot night we say Shechianu. Okay, do we make a separate Shechianu on the Sukkah? No. Right, we make a bracha of Leishe B'Sukkah, and we say the Shechianu covers both the Yom Tov and the Mitzvah of Sukkah. So he has a problem. So he says, V'avapi shebesukot yezman al sukkah vil al Yom Tov. V'avapi hikein zman sholay le'ole l'chol. I did not think in, V'akashaf halay le'yom tovu. Ah, but there it makes sense, because those nights also Yom Tov. Ma'ashenken yeh b'simchat purim, m'shari sudat purim sh'achla b'layla, Lo yatzaydechavato. He's already opened up an instant possibility to come back to. What's the suggestion? Maybe Purim night doesn't have so much status. What will be the proof that Purim night doesn't have so much status in our world? Almost all of Purim takes place in the daytime. Think about every single mitzvah of Purim, right? With the exception of Mikra Megillah, right? The Suda is only in the daytime, right? The Matanot Levyonim is in the daytime. Mishloach Manot is in the daytime. Maybe Purim, it's almost a misnomer. Maybe Purim night is just a regular night that we have to do Mikra Megillah. It only really becomes Purim, as it were, in the morning hours. And if that's true, that would make sense. On Sukkot, we could do a two-for-one deal. On Purim, we can't because the nighttime is not really even yet Purim. Okay, 1 second, guys. Read a little bit more. The Meiri does not like this, because then he says, Mikom akom ein devreim klum, shekol she'ein sham kosh l'kiddush, ein bozman. Guys, it's going to be really interesting here, because we keep going back and forth. What's the claim now? Yomi shechianu in the context of Kiddush. Now, if you know this, guys, it's really amazing. Who can prove to me from one Yom Tov that's obviously wrong? That you only say Shechen in the context of Kiddush. Not Rosh Hashanah, but? Nope. Yom Kippur. Who said Yom Kippur? Okay, guys, believe it or not, no one ever knows this. Very good, kidding. Okay, this is the thing I think I did for like 40 years before I noticed we were doing it. Okay, we're up on the roof singing Kol Nidre. What's the last part before we start heading down for Marv? You ever notice that we just say Shechianu? Okay, check it out, guys. Open your Yom Kippur Machzor. You'll see we simply recite Shechianu, not in any context. Right? There's no mitzvah going on. There's no Kiddush going on. We simply recite Shechianu. That is the purest example. Right, Mike, how do you know that?
Shechianu?
Yeah, you just guessed Yom Kippur. Good, good. Good intuition there. Okay? So, we just do it on the day per se. So if you ever want the proof that we say it just on the day, Yom Kippur is your proof. So now he's got a problem again. This answer seems good again. First he said you need Kiddush. Now he says you don't. He says no. Al tishivenim Yom Kippurim. Don't give me Yom Kippur. Shekdusha to yitera. It has higher Kedusha. V'lo nifka koso. So why don't we make it on Kiddush on Yom Kippur? El mitzat iser shtiyah shebo. We would accept for. You can't drink. Vahari ein zedoma elu Chanukah. Purim is like Chanukah. What do we see there? Sheyesh zman al hadlaka v'lo al hayom. So now he says, let's just go through the last line of Meiri and I'll do the whole argument back and forth. What does the Meiri essentially say, guys? Kiddush, it's not about the Kiddush per se. It's about the status of the day. And what might be the claim? Purim, guys, why do you think Purim lacks the same status? Not just because Yom Kippur, we all dress in white and sing good songs. But the Rabbanan, notice what Purim compares to. Now, I think it makes a lot of sense. You might say the rabbis can make mitzvot, but they can't create sanctity. See, guys, this is a good topic because it could connect to Machshava also. Can human beings create a sanctified day? Maybe we can, maybe we can't. But the Meiri seems to think we can't. Since we can only... Oh, sure, we can make mitzvot. We can tell you on Hanukkah, light Hanukkah candles. We can tell you on Purim, read the Megillah. But we can't create Kedusha Hayom. And maybe if there's no Kedusha Hayom, what would emerge? There is no reason to say Shechianu. And if you think he's crazy, isn't Hanukkah a great example? We seem to only say Shechianu. Actually, it's debatable, because I guess you could say it's two for one there also. But he assumes that in Hanukkah, the Shechianu was only on the light of Hadlaka Neirot, and there is no Shechianu for purpose. Let me just sum up, because there was a lot of arguments back and forth in the Meiri, and then I'll take comments. Okay, first suggestion, Meiri. Maybe we make Shechianu twice. One is on the day, one is on the Megillah reading. He wanted to claim the one on the day would actually be in the morning, because he thinks Purim night doesn't have so much status, nothing's happening yet Purim night. Then he has a question, he says, but maybe we only do it on the day when there's Kiddush, right? He says, no, that's not true because of Yom Kippur. But then he says Yom Kippur is still a bad paradigm, because it's really not about the Kiddush at the end of the day, it's about the Kedusha. And the Rabbanans don't have that Kedusha that would demand Shechianu. So again, one answer out there is, one for the day, one for the mitzvah. The Meiri at the end of the day thinks it's wrong, because he thinks that Purim does not have that kind of status. Okay, Quincy.
Okay, could one argue that it's the other way around? So I've heard ideas that all of the mitzvah, including Megillah, the Ikkar is on the day. So therefore, on the day, you're making the Shechianu on Megillah. And it's not like we're against saying Shechianu at night for the entire day. In fact, we think that the day starts during the night. And with Abba Chagim, we also say that Shechianu. So you could argue the first Shechianu is over the day, and then next one is over Megillah.
Yes, yes. You could argue that if you want to, yes. Okay, that'd be good so far? Yeah, Eitan.
This might be a bit of a stretch, but like, you know, mentioning the difference between like Sukkot and Purim, the name itself of the holiday is Sukkot. Like, the whole, like, when you're saying that Shechianu on the Zman of sitting in the Sukkah, it's sort of like, I guess, implied that like that's for the whole holiday. which is important. You're saying it twice because, like, Megillah is just an aspect of it, so you have to cover both the night and the day, which is the holiday.
Okay, look, you're raising an interesting question about how Chagim got their names and what we should make of it, but I'm going to leave it aside for now. Okay? Although, Eitan, we discovered that you have two fields of expertise. Okay, it is politics and Jewish music, right? Those are, I don't know what they have to do with each other, but I guess what, I can, one could have two disparate fields of expertise. That was very impressive how quickly you found the Song of Judah was looking for. Okay. All right, guys. So let's go to, just want to show you that sometimes something that one person rejects, right, another person might think really is good. So if you just go for 1 second to the Pnei Yehoshua, okay, it's on source 7. You look at the 4:7 for 1 second. He says, "You see where it says at the end of the fourth line, Elu de'ilin yan zman, who comes to Shechianu, hayanirli shetzarach lebarach belayla. Why do men get a night? Lab mishum kriya megillah lechud. Not only the megillah, el mishum chovat hayom. It is also about." So Harrison, here's your theory. The Meiri didn't like it. The Pnei Yehoshua does like it. But look, he's the difference between their thinking is explicit. Kiven da so chacham kmo regel mamash. What's he arguing? Yeah, the rabbis can make real regalim. It's not some pseudo holiday. It's not like, you know, Tu B'Shvat or what's the other one I usually go with? Or Lag BaOmer. Right? It's a real holiday. Okay, what? Tu B'Av. I always say Tu B'Av has more sources in Chazal than Tu B'Shvat. Okay. Not like one of those holidays made up by a joint effort of the Zionists and the Kabbalists. Okay. Yeah. You know, Chabad's too easy a target. Okay. Actually, maybe we should. There are enough Chabad guys here. But it's a real holiday, not like Yotet Kislev. Okay. So here we go. So Purim's a real holiday. Let's see if you can prove it. Tichtiv Mishnev Simcha. Now here's a good line, couple guys. Everyone should know this. Vidivri Kabbalah Kedivri Torah. I mentioned this once before. Guys, Divrei Kabbalah here does not mean Kabbalistic secrets. What does it mean again? It's a code word for? It's in Nach. Very good, Rav Yerubek. It is in Nach. And there's an idea sometimes that something in Nach has more status than a Stam Derabbanan. So you want to say, don't even, by the way, it's interesting because based on that logic, what might you differentiate between if that's the main argument? Purim and Hanukkah, right? It could be, say, Purim has holiday status. And Chanukah does not. That'd be quite a fascinating idea. Because Purim does appear in Nach, and Chanukah obviously does not. So, Divrei Kabbalah Kedivrei Tari Dari, Achilashita Kampos Kimi is another test case. These are great guys for picking up test cases. Ein Avelud Vanina Nohegbo. What might be, this is always one like, guys, if you're good philosophers, say, what case will test the difference between A and B? So, what's his other suggestion here? What will test whether a Chag has real status or not? Whether it negates mourning. Right? There's a sense that a real holiday can't go together with Avelut. And there, by the way, there is a debate. If you look it up in Halakha, there's a debate what happens if you're a mourner on Purim. Some people say you do all the mourning practices even though it's Purim. And some people say, no, Purim suspends mourning. So he wants to quote the idea that Purim suspends mourning. And what would that show again? Purim has real regal status. So just notice, lurking in this debate is not just debate about Megillah issue, it's debate about almost Chagim Derabbanan in general. Okay, so just to sum up, number one, guys, first answer on the plate is the Pnei Yehoshua. One is for the day, one's for the Megillah. But that assumes that the day demands one. So the Pnei Yehoshua thinks that Purim has that kind of status, and he tries to bring proofs for it. Whereas, clearly, the Meiri thought, Purim is like Hanukkah, it does not have regal status, it would not call for its own Shechian. Okay, Ari Berman.
Within the world of the Meiri, would he say that in terms of Avelus, maybe the night wouldn't?
Oh, that's a fascinating idea. Yeah. Not for us right now, but there's a lot to that. Yeah. He wanted to argue that it's for the Megillah. Although you could have gone Quincy's way. I'm sorry? What? No, because he's arguing. Look, this was in the middle of the argument. It wasn't where things ended up at the end. But he would argue that maybe Purim has status, but the status is really the daytime of Purim that has status. Because you don't really do anything at night. Well, how do you know that? Tosfos says that, but...
He says it at the beginning.
Well, that's when he's quoting a different answer. I think he's in a different approach over there. Okay, I think when he gets to... In fact, when he goes through, I'll show you that he... Guys, I think, just one thing to be careful about, guys. I think this has happened to us a lot. Like, Rishonim will often quote multiple answers. So if you just pick out a line, pick out a line here, and pick out a line there, So all of a sudden it's not consistent. But that's because there was the first approach, the Rishon, and the second approach. So be, just be careful when you're picking out lines that that's not happening. You're not conflating different answers. He thinks that, well, if we do, it's not because of the Yom. It might be because of the first answer.
What was the first
answer? Okay, so you know what? Evan, hold on. Gooby, hold on. Don't lose that. Don't forget the thought, Gooby. Okay, write it down if you're going to forget it. Okay, let us get to, since Leave is ready to bring it up, let's get to the other answer and we'll see the contrast. Okay, so let's look at Tosfos on source 3. Okay, if we have a chance, we'll get to the Gemara. This might be an unusual case, we don't do the Gemara. Yonadav, how's it going back there? What? Why?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Okay.
I went to a wedding.
That's a good reason. Who got married?
Yitz's friend.
Yitz from Poland. Rav Yitz from Night City. Why were you invited to Rav Yitz's friend's wedding?
Rav Yitz invited
the
Night City. I was the only one that went there.
Where was it?
The Vert Hotel.
Okay. How crazy was it?
I'm saying,
I assume it was a separate team.
Yeah.
Did they bring out, like, potato cook and chong for the yeshiva guys?
It was more like meat wrapped in, like, chocolate.
No, no, there's what's different. In a lot of Haredi weddings, there's the main course, and then the yeshiva guys will show up, and they have, like, on the side, potato cook and chong. What?
None of that.
Oh, wow. That's usually better than the main course. This is my advice. Go to that. Pretend you're one of the yeshiva guys. Okay, here we go, guys. Let's go to Tosfot, source 3. Okay, he fit right in. Okay, Tosfot, source 3. That's the source in the Megillah that you have to do the Megillah twice. Omari, I forgot the Baruch Zman Belayla. Even if you say Shem in the nighttime, here's Leave, here you are. Chosem Baruch Tobiyom. You do it again in the daytime. Why? To Iker Persumenisa, Avi Bikriya Diyamama. Okay, what does he say? The main time to presume he says now when I read the Megillah at night, it's actually beginning the day. The Kronami Mashmakain, the Pasuk, I'm not getting this right now, guys, but the Pasuk that's the source for this is Mashmak Dichtiv, Valaila Vludumayli, Klomer Avmi Shakwe Biom, Chayv Kobalaila, Vaikar, Havi Biyamama. So what does Tosos think? So I would say in Tosos, it's not that one's on the Yom and one's on the Megillah. They might both be on the Megillah, but what's happening? Since the Megillah reading gets more significant, it's more like quantitative than qualitative, right? I'm doing kind of my level 2 Megillah reading at night. When I get to the daytime, I'm doing my level 1 Megillah reading. And therefore, when I go from level 2 to level 1, that justifies a sech in Shachyanu. So I would like to argue now, we have two theories that are kind of strikingly different. We have what I call the qualitative theory. They're not a Shachyanu on the same thing. They're Shachyanu on the day of Purim and the Shekhinah on the Mikra Megillah, however you want to divide up the two Shekhinahs. I would call this Tosfos more quantitative, that somehow the daytime is the real Megillah reading, and therefore we say Shekhinah because the night is still fresh, but the day is even better, so we say Shekhinah. So leave this, if you go back to the Miri starts with Tosfos. He says, Chayadim Lekodah Megillah Belayla, Shemachotel Yom Purim, Ulishnot Apam Echer Piyom Bakato. The main ones in the day. So only later did you get to the other theory that one is covering the Yom and one is covering the Regel and one is covering the Megillah. But his first theory is still the Tosfos theory. Okay, Gooby.
So, this is not an idea that, let's say, I give Megillah at night. And I say Shekhanu, that I can't say Shekhanu again. Like, let's say I eat dragon food today, and I don't say Shekhanu. Can I say Shekhanu tomorrow, I eat dragon food again? Or do I lose that chance?
It's a good. Well, how would that help Purim? I'm ignoring your question.
Be able to say it the next day, or if you go by the Meiri, then like, why don't you say Shekhanu Shekhanu on, let's say, at your Shekhanu, or when you give the poor person money? Meaning, why don't you say it when you're hearing Megillah?
Not like Tosos.
Not like
Tosos. Look, I think you're asking an interesting question, which is, if you say Shekhinah on the day, which of the mitzvah of the day somehow stands out for the Shekhinah? But, Gubi, I would change your question perhaps into like an argument. Maybe that shows that Mikra Megillah is the most significant mitzvah of Purim. More significant than Mishloach Menorah Matan Levi Yonim, or more kind of, it gives identity to the day. So you could argue that Mikra Megillah is the one that gives the essential identity to the day. Okay, but, and instead of a question, I'd say that's an interesting point you're raising. Yeah, all right.
Just to clarify, in terms of pursuing
By the way, that might be part of it also, in terms of what Kubi just asked. It could be Mishloach Menot is a great thing, but we do not view Mishloach Menot as an act of pursuing Nisa. Right? Or Matanot Levyonim is a fantastic thing. But maybe the only time we're publicizing the Nes is by reading the Megillah. So maybe, Kubi, that's what gives Mikra Megillah its added status as the essential mitzvah of the day. And therefore, we'll associate Shechianu with it. Yeah. Look, I'm not sure what he's getting at there, but he has other arguments why the day is the main one. He has other arguments why the day is the main one. We'll get to the second guy, is actually night versus day. Okay? Micah.
I have a question. There are people, I think like Akiva Schwartz said, this one of Matthew Beam, where he slept outside of...
Hey, we're not getting there right now. Okay, Mati.
According to Tosfos' like position, so this Twadi argument be like you do Shechianu the second time, or like where it's like you do the first time, you do the second time.
Ah, so that's what I wanted to say to leave. Maybe not everybody agrees that Mikra Megillah is the day is more significant. So I'm going to read a Rambam together, guys, and I'm going to make an argument. Tell me if you agree or not. Okay. All right, Northman, how's it going there?
Well.
Okay, excellent. Okay, 1 second, Yoni. Let us see the Rambam. All right, where's your family from? Where in Europe? Your dad, well, not originally. How
Native American. But dad converted.
Ah, okay. Wait, you're really from like Native American background? Which
132nd Cherokee.
Oh my God. Okay. I think, guys, when we do like the facts about guys receiving their families, I have to admit, if you're like the descendant of a convert, you have a much wider playing field. Usually, you have better stuff to go with. Right, like both, like you had ancestors on both sides of the Civil War. Right, that's pretty impressive. Okay, nobody in my neighborhood could say that. Okay, so let us go to the Rambam. Okay, source 4. Okay, Rambam source 4. Mitzvah lekoda kula, u'mitzvah lekota belaylo bayom. Okay, you read it day and night. The chola laila kashla kumigal. You could read it all night. The kolayom kashla kumigal. You could read it all day. Here we go. Let's go to the brachot. We'll see where the Sfarim are coming from here. When we read at night, we say 3 brachot. And Shechianu. Last line, Ubiyom Eino Cholizer and Bavarek Shechianu. Says the Rambam, there's no reason to say Shechianu twice. This is the source of the Sephardi custom that they only say Shechianu at night. But here's my question, guys, because I'm going to try a theory. We'll see if you guys like it or not. See, one of the great things about giving shiur is you get to try your theories. Okay, when you're only going to say it once according to Rambam, no reason to say it twice. He picks the nighttime. Do you think that means he obviously disagrees with Tosfot and doesn't see the day as the more essential reading? Because that's one you could say. What does the Rambam obviously hold? Tosfot is wrong. The day is either more significant than night. Sorry, the night is either more significant than day or equally significant, and therefore you do it the first time. Jonah, what do you say? Ah, because
you're saying it on the mitzvah, just because one's more significant.
Excellent, excellent. I was waiting to see somebody say that. I haven't found it yet, but I actually think it's a good svar. What is Shechianu about? I haven't encountered something in a long time, and now I encounter it. Who says I have to encounter it on the highest level? Like, what if I buy, I don't know, who should go after it? Okay, fine. What if I buy Micah's shirt? Okay, I really don't think it's such a great shirt. Okay, but it's still it's not what? Yeah, it's no Hawaiian shirt. Right, it's not a fez. Okay, so what if it's still a new shirt? I'm going to use it. Well, so I'm going to make a Shechianu. There's no reason to say, oh, I didn't do it on the highest level. So maybe the Rambam simply says, okay, daytime is a more significant Megillah reading, but who cares? Shechianu depends on the first time you encounter a phenomenon. This is the first time I'm encountering Mikra Megillah, so I say Shechianu. So I agree with Jonah. Yes? Oh, that was a Kubi's question. Okay. Everybody good so far? Okay, yeah.
In normal cases, like how long does it have to be before, since you've asked
the question? They usually say a year. Like people say, have I had, or the fruit, you might say, have I had this fruit yet this season, right?
Do we say
Shechianu on matzah? We do not. We do say 2 bracha, but why do we say 2 bracha, guys? Why do we say 2 bracha on the matzah? One is the motzilach minaretz, and one is the achilat matzah. But as you guys are saying, we've already seen the idea that the Shechianu of Kiddush does double duty. And maybe sometimes Shechianu Kiddush can even do like triple duty. Okay, but just like Sukkah. Remember we said there's no separate Shechianu on the Sukkah and on the Kiddush. So Pesach night could be like that as well. Yeah, Jojo.
According to the Rambam, like the status is irrelevant, then what would the Rambam answer to why we read the Megillah twice?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. Okay, which we have not answered yet. Okay, let us... Actually, once Jojo asked it, let us see a radical theory. I think it's a very interesting radical theory. Let us go to source... Oh, did I put on? Oh, source 8. The Svar Emet. Okay, Svar Emet again is the Rebbe of which Hasidus, guys?
Yeah,
very good. Okay, excellent. Good. And we're going to skip all the way down. He has a novel new theory. You see where he says, Ubayom, it's about halfway down, is the beginning of the line, Ubayom?
Yeah.
What did he mean when he said Megillah reading is meant to be done twice, once a night and once in the day? If I didn't read it at night, wow! Till now we thought, oh, there's a mitzvah to do it once a night and once in the day. What does he think, actually? The mitzvah is just to read the Megillah twice. Megillah meant to be read twice. And therefore, if I missed it at night, I would actually read it twice in the daytime. Okay, let's read a little bit more. One second. Okay, so I just want to point out, according to this, I think it's a fascinating idea. Maybe we think that, look, I don't know where we would take this from, like an educational or a philosophical perspective. But maybe some texts, you really start to get it your second time around. Right? I think that might be true about a lot of things. You'll notice, you know what it's like this, guys? Oh, let's say you watch a confusing movie. So the first time, you're only trying to like make sense of what you're watching. Then the second time, you already know what's going to happen. You can actually pay attention to the details. Or, wait, who do we need now? We need... Oh, man, where's Gavri?
Gavri's over there.
There we go. Let's say you're reading Infinite Jest, right? You have no idea what's going on until, like, page 632, right? So it's a little bit hard to appreciate. So what you need to do... Gavri, this is bad news for you. Okay? You need to finish it and immediately start again from the beginning. It's like a seum, right? Go, and then all of a sudden you actually understand who the characters are and how the different chapters relate to each other. So I'm wondering... I'm not saying Megillah Esther is that hard, but I wonder, according to him, that's part of the idea. Like, this is a text you should read twice. You'll really appreciate it on the second go-round. Okay? So again, this is not so much the Shechianu, but I want to say it's a new idea in terms of the double reading. Till now, we've thought of dual reading as, oh, I want to experience at night, and I want to experience in the day. That's how we've thought of the dual reading. This is the first time someone has said the dual reading is really just about reading it twice. In fact, if I missed it at nighttime, I would read it twice in the daytime. Okay, Jonah?
Based on the spot, I missed
it. Gabby, sorry, I didn't see you in the corner over there. Okay.
Could you read Megillah twice at night?
Oh, that's a really good question. That's a good question. So look at the last three lines. In theory, you could have said that, but very good, Jonah. Look at the last three lines. The Efshar the Hadam Lashnota Mishum the Iker Mitzvata Bayomi. He's still on your team, guys. That the main mitzvah. He's on the Tosfos team. He's in the day. The Kriya Belaili Hirak Shia Biyom Kriya Shnia. That is really unbelievable. What does he want to claim? I only read at night, so that my daytime reading will be a second reading. Like, the day is what really matters, but we want the daytime reading to be the second time I'm hearing it. So it's almost like the first reading is almost like a preparatory stage. It's not even really the mitzvah. It is setting up the second reading. So, Joni, he could have gotten to he still thinks that the day is the main show. Isaac. Well, he didn't say that. That's one possible way to read him. Maybe we had the Jonah Zeal way to read him also.
Try answers assumes correction. Maybe even though divorced from the actual text. Like if you just go out and you go do those mitzvot, you don't really connect it to an actual Megillah reading. It seems kind of like not connected.
Okay, very interesting. That was very clever, guys. Isaac again at some point is going to realize give up on his business career and then just go to Torah. It's going to happen eventually. Okay, so he's just very clever, guys. Are some of you learning Megillah? So didn't the Gemara itself, although it might be very practical, link the reading of Megillah with one of the other mitzvot, they have their always a package deal. Do you remember? If, anyone remember which one? Very good. Who said that? That was excellent. Who said Matan Elyonim? Lee, very good. Isn't the Gemara very insistent that Matan Elyonim has to coincide with? Now, I admit one could be very practical about that. What would be the practical way to say it? You have a big crowd at Mikra Megillah. That's the most effective time to collect money for the poor. But Isaac has raised a fascinating possibility. Maybe it's not just practical. Maybe there's a sense that we really want those mitzvot to be integrated and seen in the background of the Purim story. And therefore, we need a Mikra Megillah that connects it. That's very clever, Isaac. Yeah, Caleb.
In the Sod Emmet's world, if you're reading two Megillahs during the day, do you say Shafian on both?
I would think just once at that point. I think just once.
It sounds like they're describing them as two, like, totally, like, kind of quality.
Look, the problem is he's not really addressing the Shekhyanu question. Okay, so it's just my speculation. Yeah, Micah.
I don't know, like, I feel like the spot, and it's a little bit of speculation here, like, we know for davening that if you, like, by accident skip a chakras, you're supposed to say 10 minutes, right? No one's saying that you just need three davenings in a day, and it doesn't matter where you put them. Everyone says you should be having a
model. Okay, so you're doing something great, guys. That's why it's good to have different models in your head. And then the more you know the halachic system, you know different models. Mike, in the part I skipped, which I don't think I'm going to get to today, he says this is not the Teshulman model. He's aware that the Teshulman model is lurking there, and you're right. The Teshulman model would play out differently. But if you skip, he quotes the Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef quotes someone who's thinking in terms of Teshulman. Okay? So it is interesting, like, which model are we doing here if you're saying you do it again? Yeah, Quincy.
I do think that it compares to the model of Shnai Nikra, as in we seem to say that you
should. Oh, that's very clever. Very good, Quincy. Right, if you say we never in the halachic system have the value of reading something twice, now, Quincy, you'll have to throw that in next time. Excellent. So you might say Shnai Mikra is precisely that. Oh, you'll just get the basics the first time, but you're really able to think about it more deeply when you go through something a second time. Which, again, I think in a lot of life, we do experience life that way. Okay, we're good? Yeah, Mati.
Where do we see that we have to read together? Like, Mishnah is very easy to see in the text. Like,
together also? It's interesting because the Megillah itself is very clear about Matan Elyonim Mishloach Manot.
Yeah.
It's not so clear about Mikra Megillah, but the Gemara has ways to derive it from the Megillah. I don't get to it right now.
But it was derived from the Megillah.
It's derived from the Megillah itself, yeah.
No, but I'm saying it was always two from the beginning.
That I can't say for sure.
Okay.
In fact, I bet, let me just think for a second. I bet some scholars say it was originally read once and then only started twice in the time of Amorim.
Right.
Because the Mishnah only mentions Kriya Bayom.
Yeah, yeah, and the Megillah only mentions doing the Megillah.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's some scholarly article about that out there somewhere. Okay. Great, guys? Okay. Let us see. Ask one last question. Okay? Maybe two more questions. If I ask you, just based on the story, what is more significant, the night or the day? What would you say? Okay. Those of you who said the day, why did you say the day? What's the miracle?
Like the war.
Okay. Good. Anybody with a different position? Okay. Again, we're trying to figure out. I'm reading the Megillah story. Okay, does Megillah highlight nighttime? Is it a nighttime episode or a daytime episode? Rafi?
There'd be an argument made that, like, the key point of Megillah is at night when Ahasuerus comes.
Oh, what a great coup here, guys. We now see that the classical commentaries exactly debate that point. Excellent. Let us go back to the previous page. That was very good what you guys just did. Okay, let us look at... No, sorry. Actually, before that, go back to... Who says the war part? Seven, the Bnei Yeshua. Sorry, let's go back to this. We did the second part of Bnei Yeshua. Let's do the first part of Bnei Yeshua. Says the Bnei Yeshua, "V'niyotayti nir davadi ikar chiv kritash tiknu l'kod kedina haino b'yom davka." Why does he like the day? Caleb, exactly what you said. Did you read this Bnei Yeshua? You just figured it out. Excellent. To us, as mana nes shenikalu al nafsham ash enkein laila lav shat milchama. I guess it's probably true, actually. Yeah, I know I'm not an expert in the history of warfare, but I imagine in a world without electricity, right, you probably didn't wage too many battles at night, right? Because what?
Even with electricity.
Yeah, it's true today, too. More battle in the daytime?
I don't ask for a veneer.
Okay. Well, that would only prove what happens in Lebanon. We wouldn't know about the rest of the world. Okay, but, okay, so the assumption is that battle warfare happens in the daytime, right? And therefore, that's the main part of the story, exactly. So now, it's because we were curious before, like, is it just arbitrary that we favor the daytime? Now it becomes much as arbitrary, right? The nation would simply say, that's the story. The story is a daytime story. However, Rafi Ubeck should not give up. Because if we go to the Marsha on source 6, Okay, remember, guys, why does the Marsha stick out? Everyone has to know this. You can't leave Shiva. Why does the Marsha stick out among commentaries? What's unusual about him? He not only commented on the halachic sections, he also commented on the agadic sections. Okay, here we go. Marsha. Fine. Second line. That's interesting. He has a new theme, which we're not going to stress right now. Remember the guy, Gemara says at one point, that Megillah serves as the Hallel Purim? Guys, well, when do we tend to recite Hallel? In the daytime. So if Megillah is going to be the Hallel Purim, that would be reason to do Megillah in the day. Come on. Here go. Rock Belaila. Kmo Shekatuv. Belaila who? Nadadash, not Amelech. There it is. That night the king couldn't sleep. Arguably, Megillah. Oh, this is what they ask you in your like high school composition things, right? Where's the turning point in the story, right? Isn't that a classic question on the essays? What's the turning point? Right? So one could easily argue that the turning point of the Purim story is when the king can't sleep. Right? That's when, you know, it's like I say, all sports people should appreciate this. Okay? You're playing a sports game and one team's winning and then you feel the momentum shifting, right? It doesn't mean you've caught up yet, right? But something's happened, right? All of a sudden, you know what? I'll give you an example. Like, you're winning by 13, but they hit a half-court shot at the buzzer to go. So even though you're still up by 10, but you feel it slipping away, right? The momentum is shifting, right?
It's not momentum. It's definitely just a random...
Okay, there we go. There we go. Okay, we have the Amos Tversky of our time. Okay. But, so you could say, what was that three-pointer for midcourt? That was Achashverosh being unable to sleep, right? That is when the momentum shifts. If so, in some ways, Purim becomes a night story more than a day story. Jonah.
I mean, if we're saying that the Megillah is the Halal of Purim, Halal of Purim is an exclusive thing.
Okay, so let me point out something, guys. Jonah's did a very good job, but the question is, how much should you prove from something that is really exceptional? Right? If we do a long study of Hallel, what we discover? Hallel on Sukkot? Daytime. Hallel on Hanukkah? Daytime. Hallel on...
Wait, Pesach.
Seder night. Right, okay. So that's exactly the point. On Seder night, there's two things with it, guys. We integrate Hallel into the Seder. But there's also a minhag, because they may have to say Hallel and Shul. You guys have that minhag or no? All our Chabadniks. Where's Kobe? You lost him? Ah, there you go. Kobe, do you remember what Chabad does? Did they say Hallel and Shul on Pesach night? Anybody?
I do.
They probably do, no? I think they probably do.
No,
do you know? Do you remember? No, but there are chutzlarts in Yanam that don't do it. Not every chutzlarts does. Oh, only at Shul? No, it's not true either. There are places that look like they do it. Okay, look, you might be right about the tendency, but not about, like, it's not like 100 to 0. But the question is, should we view Pesach night as some kind of unique maverick? Or that shows that Hallel could be a night also. Yeah.
If it's something unique, I mean, if it belongs to two of the holidays, you know, then
well, that's, it's very interesting, Joe. It's very interesting theory, but the question is, we're not sure if it's what's happening in Purim, right? Okay, yeah.
The only other concept in Gemara that we have like these two cases that have like these exceptions and combine them together and find what's
right. But part of the problem here is like this is a really interesting get test case because we know that Pesach's an exception. Mm-hmm. We're not sure that Purim's exception. Meaning Jonah is raising a possibility. If the Megillah is the Hallel, is that happening at night as well? Which might be true, but we're not sure it's true.
But there's also, we know that there are links between like the two like themes of the days.
Purim and Pesach.
Right.
Okay, you could say that. All right, guys, we ready for a summary? Any last questions? Yeah, leave.
So the
Marsha thinks you need both. I read it very quickly because I was running out of time. He's basically saying you might think we only do the day one because of Hallel. No, you need the night one because of Belailahu. And don't think we can just do the night one. If you keep reading, he says you need the day one because of the Hallel theme. Okay, guys, quick summary here. Very good job. Okay, by the way, this also, I don't do this often, but it was a shiur I just prepared, so it's nice to do a fresh topic. Okay, here we go, guys. We have here the unusual idea that we say the Megillah twice. That is certainly unusual. What is going on? Okay, not only that, but we say, if you're Ashkenazi, you say Shehecheyanu twice. You might say logic is with the Rambam. According to Rambam, guys, how many times do you say Shachianu? And only at night. That is the Sephardi position. So why the Ashkenazi twice? So we talked about a qualitative or a quantitative approach. Qualitative approach, we are doing two different things, as Harrison said. This was in the Pnei Yeshua. One is on the Yom, one is on the Chag, one is on the Megillah. And we had an interesting discussion with Quincy, which is which. But that's why you have two. That's the qualitative approach. But that qualitative approach depends on a very fundamental question. When the rabbis make up a holiday, does it have real regal status? Notice the Meiri thought it didn't. He compares it to Hanukkah. And the Pnei Yeshua clearly thought it does. He tries to look at the position that it suspends Avilut. That shows you it's really a regal. Okay, so that is the qualitative answer. Then we have what I call the quantitative answer in Tosfot, that the Iker is Bayom. So even though I did it at night and I started, but since I'm raising the level, I do another Shechianu in the daytime, which raised an interesting larger conversation that maybe, and Lee picked up on this, maybe Purim is really like an unusual thing. Maybe it's like a 12-hour holiday and not a 24-hour holiday. That the real Purim holiday is from dawn till sundown, right? From sunrise to sundown. That's the real Purim holiday Bayom. Okay, great. Then we had, so that's why we say Shechianu twice. Why do we read it twice altogether? So we had a really fascinating Sfat Emet. Sfat Emet says what's important is really not day versus night. What's actually important is just reading it twice. He even phrases it that, oh, why do we read it at night? So that the daytime reading will be experienced as a second reading, which is really a fascinating, I don't know if he's right or not, but I found it a fascinating idea. We talked about how certain things you appreciate more only on the second go-through, like Infinite Jest. Okay, well, yeah, please.
So,
Yafet.
But Bnei Israel was in the Tzara, so they davened to Hashem Laila Vayom.
Ah, Yafet, that's what Rashi
says. Okay, so then, like you want to start, like Purim start at night, but then Vayom, you want to come already with Pesum Anes in the Yom already.
Okay, good.
Because, like, so I don't know what's going on. Oh, I heard last night, so I know what's going on now.
Okay, Yafet, Yafet. Okay, finally we asked, which is Eitan, now I see where you picked up your Hebrew skills. What language do you talk to Eitan in? It wasn't a criticism, I was just curious. English, I guess.
No,
okay, okay. So, in any case, then we asked, based on the story, should we highlight the day or the night? So, as I mentioned very briefly, we saw the Pnei Yeshua wants to say battle happens in the daytime. So, it's really a daytime story. We saw the Marsha goes with Rafi. The Marsha says, but the turning point, the momentum, the game changer was when Achashverosh couldn't sleep, that's the night. And as Eitan's dad says, Rashi just says they cried out to God both in day and at night. Like maybe somehow the story ends up highlighting both of them. Okay, last comment. Leave.
I think there's like a fundamental flaw in the quality of the difference. Because if you ever like saw you're on, there's a mistake. So if you say that we're saying the interval is on the day, so we say Shepheyan during the day, and we say the Yom at night, or at the interval, the Yom is also during the day.
Okay, interesting. So the question is, do you have to say the... I understand what you're saying. You're saying the Iker of the Chag and the Iker of the Megillah is in the day. So I think a very good question, Leif. I think we'd have to say one of two things. Either that deny in one case the Iker is in the day, right? I admit that. No, I'm not saying the Meir, just in theory. Wait. Or say we still would like to separate the two to highlight that we're doing two different Shechianos.
I'm just saying it seems like the Meir and the Meir
You're right about the Miri. Let's check the Pnei Yeshua again. Where does the Pnei Yeshua talk about what the Iker is?
Well, he talks about the Iker.
Yeah, I think the Pnei Yeshua there might be more flexibility. All right, guys. Everybody should have a great Shabbat.